What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, Keith, get ready.
I'm ready.
It's a busy day around these
parts. It might
parts.
Be the busiest day of our entire lives.
What a night to throw our show outing when just the busiest
we all survived, by the way. We can talk about it more later because there's a lot of pressing issues.
Yes.
But we all survived.
We did.
No bloody noses, no hyperextended knees.
No torn ACLs.
No.
I have
bumps, bruises.
Double bruised palms.
Yeah. Which, that might have happened anyway.
May or may not have happened before we got there.
Correct.
But we'll get to that later on in the program. Two stories all day long we'll
Holy
be reacting
smokes.
To. One we got quick thoughts, brief thoughts on at the end of the show yesterday. Yeah. The Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet. Sounds like they're not done. Oh, by the way, gee, who would be a good person to ask about that? If the Red Sox are done and what they get in Garrett Crochet.
Maybe the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox,
Breslow. I'd say the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox would be a great person to ask.
Billy, get him on the show.
Yeah, let's do
get
that.
Get him on the show.
Can we pencil in Craig Breslow?
Okay.
10:30? Can
Done.
We pencil him in 10:30?
Done.
Okay, good.
Kind of connections.
We're going to talk to Red Sox CBO, Craig Breslow, at 10:30 on the books. We're going to grill him. We're going to put on our big journo pants.
Now, one thing to say.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
yes,
famously
uh-huh.
was scheduled to do an interview with MLB Network, canceled because he was making a trade.
Great question.
So this is sort of a win-win. If he has to cancel with us, that means he's probably on the horn with Seattle making another trade.
Yeah, it's not because he hates us.
Not that.
No, it's not
he
that.
He hasn't heard what we said about him.
Right.
Actually, we actually defended him more than most people did yesterday. Yeah. So maybe this is why he's coming on with us.
Coincidence?
Everybody else was dumping on him, and we're like, hey, it's John Henry's fault they didn't get Juan Soto or Max Fried. But he got the job done for Garrett Crochet, so he will join us coming up in 25 minutes.
Wow, good person. I would say a good person to talk to today. Mm-hmm. Red Sox chief baseball officer Chaim Bloom at 10:30. Mark it down. That's story number one.
Yep.
Story number two, and really 1A, 1B, Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. NFL doesn't want him, which I think is pretty clear. We're just arguing about this with Wiggy off the air. We can get mm-hmm. more into it. It's now official. It's 5 years. It's UNC. He's bringing the gang back together with Mike Lombardi and all these other schlubs. What do we think about it, Keith?
Shocked. I'm shocked. And after we heard him on Pat McAfee give his pitch, I changed my tune. Remember yesterday we were saying during the show, I'm like, yeah, that's where he's going. I'm like, I never thought in a million years Bill would coach in college. But when he basically came out and told you what North Carolina would be if he took the job, and he went on and on and on about, you know, a pipeline to the NFL and getting guys ready to play in the NFL. I was like, holy smokes, he wants this job. I thought it made all the sense in the world for North Carolina, a Power 5 conference school, but like an afterthought when it comes to college football. If they have the ability to get Bill Belichick, they should do it. They should make this big splash, and they did. It's still going to be crazy to watch him on Saturdays and to see him coaching college kids. I know this Wickersham story, which we can get into, about how he's, you know, not in the NFL and he's coaching college. It mentions how he was like raised on college campuses. Okay, he's also spent the last 50 years in the NFL. Like, I think he wanted to be in the NFL, but he also really wanted to coach. He really, really wants to coach. You can't take that out of him. He's done 9 different TV and podcast jobs this year. That's not for him. He wants to coach. He read the room. NFL doesn't want him. A lot of college opportunities. His son was in college this year, and obviously he has a lot of other friends of his that have coached in college. And as some college coaches are getting out of the game because of NIL, we might start to see more pro coaches go into the game, go into college, and that's what Bill's doing. So to sum it up, I'm mad that he's not back in the NFL because I think we'd have more interest in it, and it'd be fun to follow. But I'm glad he's coaching again. I think that part is great. It'll be another reason to pay attention to what the University of North Carolina is doing next season. Because, like, the radio stuff, the podcast, the Manning cast is like, all right, we saw it, and then we kind of moved on. At least he's coaching. Wish he was in the NFL, but I'll take this.
Okay. I find it to be fascinating that Bill's in college football. Did I say Chaim Bloom, by the way, not Craig Breslau?
Did you?
I don't know. I was so excited I didn't even realize what I was saying.
Sometimes they sound the same. No, yeah, we're talking to Craig Breslau.
He's now going to blow us off. Now he's going to blow us off.
How dare you insult me like that?
Craig Breslau.
That's right.
Chief
World Series champion Craig Breslau
of the Boston Red Sox will be joining us. A lot of ways you can get in touch on the show today. That would be 617-779-7937. You can also text that number. That's where I realized I said Chaim Bloom instead of Craig Breslau. Didn't even realize I said it in real time. So feedback there. Interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Good way to do that. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there as well. And you can watch on YouTube. It streams. Just follow WEEI. I'll be talking again about Belichick and the Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet, and they may not be done all day long here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. For Belichick, and we both read through Seth Wickersham's latest at ESPN. We'll go into more detail on that coming up later on in the show. It's clear the NFL doesn't want him, and it's clear he's pissed. And you can spin this however you want. Oh, you know, he grew up on a college campus.
It was forever ago.
His dad spent 1 year at the University of North Carolina. Everyone, and this is how you know it's coming right from Bill, everyone is referencing David Halberstam saying he would go to an Ivy League school and teach. Ivy League school and teach.
That was in 05, I think you said
yes,
that?
Yes, okay. Ivy League school and teach, not second-rate college football program and pay kids money to come play for them.
A little different.
That's not what Halberstam said. He said he could see Bill going to an Ivy League school and teaching. So you know this is a talking point and garbage coming right from Bill and Lombardi and whoever else is around Bill. The NFL doesn't want him. He is bullcrap about it because he's not willing to bend the knee, and people don't believe that he'll bend the knee and sacrifice his power. So he's going to UNC. He's got a 5-year deal. It's reportedly going to be around $10 million a year. We're going to see the actual numbers. It's a public university. So we're going to see the actual numbers. We're going to know exactly what he's paid, or largely what he's paid. There are ways of hiding some of these dollars and cents. But we're going to know what he's paid. He's reportedly getting $20 million a year in NIL money to pay these kids. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens there. But don't for a second think this was Bill's plan. This is what Bill wanted. It's what he always dreamed of. He's been frozen out by the NFL. He went to the media, for God's sakes, and took seven
gigs. Took them all. To every job. Anybody's got a job, he'll take it. He'll talk to you.
He did that.
Yep.
And reduced himself to becoming a member of the media.
He joined Instagram.
He went
Bill Belichick joined Instagram.
Yeah. And put out videos of his 25-year-old or whatever girlfriend flopping around like a fish.
Not 25 yet. She can't rent a car.
Sorry.
Not legally, anyway.
24, flopping around like a fish. Reduced himself to that. To try to make himself young and relatable and cool to get hired in the NFL. It all failed. It all blew up in his face. And now he's at Chapel Hill. I'm sorry, Chapel Bill.
I don't care for that.
Not by choice, but because it's the only option he has. And so, look, he might do well there. He might not do well there. We can debate that.
We were looking at their schedule.
But that
they play nobody.
Hang on. That is reality, though.
Yeah.
It's his only option. That's why he's there.
Yeah. And you can question whether or not that's the right call by all these NFL teams, because it'll be fascinating. There'll be 9 openings or whatever it is. 3 right now. By the end of the year, there'll be 9 openings. And there's probably going to be some real head-scratching hires. You're going to be like, you came up with that guy? Like, you chose that guy over Bill Belichick. There's going to be a lot of those. There's going to be guys that kind of flame out after a year. Hell, people around here are saying, you hired Gerard Mayo instead of Bill Belichick, or keeping Bill Belichick. So there's definitely a lot of that to go around. But he read the room. He realized last year there were 7 other openings outside of New England. He got 1 interview, and by all accounts, wasn't even in the top 3 for that job. So rather than waiting around and thinking it was going to be a lot different, I think he took these jobs to try to rebrand a little bit, change his image, maybe kind of whisper out there to teams like, hey, I don't need to be in control. But like, what GM would be super confident in like, yep, I'll have no problem like overruling Bill on all these decisions? Like, probably tough. Probably tough to swing that.
Let me give you an example here of why Bill can say he would coach and only coach and not get in personnel meetings. This is a good line, I thought, in the Wickersham story that was released today. And you just referenced he was not a top three finalist for the Falcons job. Which is Wickersham has reported that before. He was not even a top three finalist for that job. But here you go. In the Falcons interviews, for instance, and just a quick passage, we'll dive deeper into this later, but since you mentioned it, listening to Terry Fontenot discuss drafting systems last January as if he knew it all bothered Bill, a Belichick confidant said. So it's like Bill can say he's going to do this and, oh, yeah, I'll work with a GM and I only want to be the coach. He can't do it.
Well,
he can't do it. And if he can, and deep down he really means it, no one believes he's going to do it.
So that's the hang up, because that's what we were arguing with Wiggy about off the air, is Wiggy saying, like, just the coach, wouldn't teams want him? And I think, in a vacuum, but they can't really trust that. And there are a lot of GMs, because let's face it, there's not a guy in the NFL right now that has the experience Bill has. So no matter who it is, the guy, Bill's going to look at the guy and be like, this guy's telling me who to draft? Like, this guy's telling me what to do? And that's why Bill loves his same guys. Mike Lombardi is going to be his GM at North Carolina. That tells you all you need to know. Like, he only likes and respects a handful of people. And I think also in that story, it's like he did burn a lot of bridges in the NFL. Like, there's probably a lot of people that are like, I don't want to work with Bill. I can't really trust it. And if you do hire Bill, you're turning over. Even if you're telling him, like, hey, we're going to keep our GM. He's like, okay. But now I got Matt Patricia in the room with me and Mike Lombardi, my two sons, maybe McDaniels. Like, now that GM is like one against six in that room. Mm-hmm. They're all going to side with Bill. And then de facto, he is going to have complete control. And then we've seen how he's drafted as of late. And so that is another reason. And then you throw in his age. And then he's like, hey, well, North Carolina's hiring him. True. But North Carolina, again, middle of the road ACC school. Okay, this to me is a big win for them.
Huge win for them.
Huge win for them.
Okay, so we got a text here. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number, too. You can dial us up whenever you want. Yep. Belichick, Garrett Crochet, Red Sox not done, Patriots moving forward, Gerard Mayo on the hot seat. We'll get to that. All of it available for you on the phones. But here's the text. Why would you want to coach the Jags? Meaning like, oh, yeah, well, he could go to the NFL, but he's choosing North Carolina. And that's what Bill said in his statement. He said, I grew up around college football with my dad. I treasured those times. I've always wanted to coach in college, and now I look forward to building a program in Chapel Hill, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. This is the first we've heard of this,
isn't
it?
If you really think Bill is choosing UNC over Jacksonville, even the worst job in the NFL, if you really think that's what Bill's choosing, that's a joke. And furthermore, I was told Bill was going to have his pick at the NFL level. I was told teams are going to be lining up for Bill Belichick. That's not the case.
Well, no, and even last year, Atlanta.
I don't think it was even one offer. Thank you.
I even thought Atlanta was beneath him.
Yes.
I was like, I think he's going to go. Now, I think last year we kind of stood in the way is some of the teams that made the most sense held on to their coach. The Jets made a huge mistake, although he's also taken himself out of the Jets job. Like, he has publicly ripped. He doesn't like Woody Johnson.
Wickersham made it clear in the story. That was, he didn't want it. They didn't want him.
But, like, Bill and Aaron Rodgers, like, before we knew how bad Aaron Rodgers was this year, I thought that made a lot of sense. So he kind of dodged a bullet with that one. But he took himself out of there. You know, Dallas, I always thought Dallas would have made some sense. But just an NFL job in general, like, if he took two interviews with Atlanta, he sure as hell would coach Jacksonville. He would coach Jacksonville because he would also probably get the power there to do that. Although also in this article, it talks about there was a time where Mike Lombardi on his podcast was like ripping Tony Khan, the son of Shot Khan.
It was this week.
It was like, all right, so they knew they weren't going to Jacksonville.
Nope.
They could take their shots there.
So, look, Bill doesn't have options. That's why he's there, meaning at Chapel Hill.
But he clearly wants to coach, and I think that's good. Like, just as a sports fan, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, you have the... Why is that not good?
Well, it's not good compared to what it could have been in the NFL.
I preferred it to be in the NFL, but if you're like, hey, Bill's on the Manning cast, or he's coaching against Clemson on Saturday, I'll watch the Saturday
game. It's better than people pretending Bill's good at the media.
People love it.
It's better than that,
yeah.
And so I'm with you on that.
Ooh, Bill's on McAfee, or like Bill's playing BC today?
But it's
like,
way worse than Bill in the NFL.
I wish he was in the NFL.
Way worse. It's beneath him. It's pathetic, but... this is the bed that he made, and now he's going to go lie in it.
I think it is fascinating, though.
In a double-decker bunk bed in Chapel Hill is what he's going to go do.
And it's going to be something. I think he's going to be pretty good. I think Mike Lombardi being the GM scares me a little bit, the guy who drafted Jamarcus Russell with the first pick in the draft. But we shall see. He is a football genius, self-proclaimed football genius.
No, he is.
So maybe they'll turn it around.
It's a good text, too. 617-779-7937. I can't tell if it's joking or serious, but either way. Everyone poops on UNC football. They're only 1 year removed from being in the top 25.
Top 25. Do you want me to tell you some of the teams that are in the top 25 the last couple of years?
No, we don't have time. We don't have time for it. But it's just a year ago they were in the top 25.
Yeah,
Keith.
All right.
So that's story number one. Story number two, and we're going to talk to Red Sox chief baseball officer Craig Breslow. Some confuse him with High and Bloom.
We're talking to Craig Breslow.
I've been known to do that in the past.
Very different dudes.
We're going to talk to Craig Breslow about 15 minutes from now. Garrett Crochet, we broke the news yesterday here, reacted to breaking news, I should say, yesterday on Jones and Keefe. We got our thoughts in briefly at the end of the show. I wish they signed free agents, but as I said yesterday, if you're going to get or not get uncomfortable spending, you better get uncomfortable moving prospects. I love this move, Keefe. I hope they're not done. I hope there's more dominoes to fall. And there are red flags with this player.
Yeah.
But I think it's more than worth the risk to bring him in while acknowledging there is risk bringing him in.
Yeah. Yesterday, getting off the show, we talked about it. I liked the move. I had one sleep on it. Love the move. I absolutely love it. Now, I think we've been kicking around the idea of doing a Haas of the week. Garrett Crochet, Haas. He is 6'6", 250.
He's just our Haas of the week every week.
He's the Haas of the week. At least this week, he's the Haas of the week. There might be a new Haas of the week next week. Who's to say? But this guy is a beast. And you're right, there are some red flags, and we can get into him as we go along the show. He's had one season, really, as a starter. He's also was on a pitch count. So, like, by the end of the year, wasn't going deep into games. Had some, you know, things at the trade deadline last year about you know, wanting a new contract or wouldn't throw out of the bullpen or whatever else. But he's 25 years old. He is the clear best starter on the team. He's got filthy stuff. 146 innings last year, 209 strikeouts.
Nice.
Like, top-end starting pitcher. You gave up some of your good prospects. You kept your top three prospects, though. You also kept all your guys, your young guys on the Major League roster, who might also be included in trades, maybe to Seattle or somewhere else.
Yeah, it sounds like Cassis could be on the move for a Seattle arm, if you believe some of the reporting.
But, I mean, I think we would have been pissed if he went to the Yankees or Mets. And yep. Like, 2 days ago, I read the same thing. Garrett Crochet, Yankees, Mets, interested. And you're like, if they lose out on Freed, feels like they're going to lose out on Burns, even though he's still available. They lost out on Soto. A million other guys are kind of flying off the board. This was the top trade candidate. He has a ton of potential, but you know what? So are all those prospects. That's what they are. They're only potential. At least we've seen him do it. He's had an all-star season so far in the majors. He's got his Tommy John out of the way. Hopefully that's it for him.
Yep.
And, he's your eight. You can now slot Tanner Houck and Brian Bayo and Cutter Crawford into spots on the rotation where they're better suited than those guys vying for the real number one.
And another arm, I think, would really slot it right.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, if Houck's your three, now you're talking.
Yes.
If Bayo's your five, that's where he belongs.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then you're really slotting everybody properly. But here's how I would say it. I wish they just paid the money to Freed, or they just paid the money to Burns, which I guess they still could. I wish they did that and saved some prospects in the meantime. Not that I need all my prospects, but I want John Henry to spend, okay?
Yeah. They haven't spent big money yet.
That's my preference, right. But okay. Who's a better pitcher? And who would you rather... Forget the cost.
Crochet's better than Freed.
Would you rather have Crochet or Freed? I would rather have Crochet.
Yeah.
And Freed has a longer guaranteed track record, but he's older, and there's more upside with Crochet. Burns or Crochet?
Burns.
Okay.
I'll be consistent. I love Burns. I've loved Burns forever, and also he's older, so Crochet might... You know, surpass him at some point, but like I feel pretty I feel like I could put in pen what Corbin Burns is going to do the next 3 years. Crochet, I'm like hopeful he's going to be nasty.
Totally.
But I would take Burns over him, but like I still am thrilled to have Crochet.
There are risks with Crochet. He has no track record,
right?
He threw whatever it was, 140 something innings.
146.
Last year.
That was far and away the most.
Basically, was shut down in the second half. He's had Tommy John surgery at the MLB level. He wants a contract. He told teams he wasn't going to pitch for them in the postseason stretch without a contract. So he might have attitude issues on top of it. But if it all hits, Tomasi said he's Josh Beckett without the track record.
Yeah.
But he is Josh
filthy.
Beckett. You know, and I've seen many baseball writers say they may have gotten the best arm that moved.
Let's go.
In free agency via trade this offseason, the best arm that moved. So that's the Red Sox.
And he's the Haas of the week.
And he is the Jones and Keefe Haas of the week. Yeah. Most importantly, didn't mean to bury the lead. Yeah. So how do you feel about it? Are the Red Sox done? Do you still want them to spend money? Are you okay with moving prospects? Did you want to hoard more prospects? Because the Red Sox told you this was their plan to build up through the farm system, and now they're pivoting again. What do you think about it? Two stories we're discussing all day long here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Number one, Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. It's official. Why does the NFL not want Bill Belichick. I think that's become pretty clear over the last 24 to 48 hours. So we'll get to your thoughts on that. 617-779-7937. That's story 1A, I should call it. 1B, neck and neck with Bill Belichick is the Red Sox and their acquisition of Garrett Crochet at the winter meetings, something we've been pining for, a move that the Red Sox have made. And fortunately, it sounds like they're not done. But we don't have the answers on that, Keith.
Who does?
We have lots of opinions.
Yes, we do.
Many, many thoughts. Mm-hmm. Some of them good, some not so good.
Right.
So let's get some answers here from someone who would know. That would be Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Craig Breslow, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Much better after the move yesterday. We admittedly were starting to freak out a little bit as the winter meetings went on and the Red Sox hadn't netted anyone. Now Garrett Crochet, a Boston Red Sox. What are the Red Sox getting in Garrett Crochet?
Yeah, I think we're incredibly excited about what Garrett is capable of doing. I think we're getting a bona fide number one starter guy who can anchor a rotation, has just premium stuff from the left side, and think that his best days are ahead of him. Obviously still new to the starting role, and a ton of reason for excitement and optimism, but like huge stuff, huge strikeout numbers. And I think that's something that is going to be a great boost to the rotation.
You know, there was a lot said about Garrett Crochet last year at the trade deadline. Is it to your understanding that he will pitch under this current contract, or is he going to need a new contract?
No, I mean, we are, looking at this as right now we've got a guy that's got 2 years of control, and, we are approaching this with no restrictions. Obviously, anything beyond that we'll explore when the time is right. But right now we're focused on 25 and 26 and being able to write his name in at the top of the rotation.
But there was no, understanding that when you traded for him that he wouldn't pitch unless he had a new deal, because that was some of the conversation last year at the trade deadline. If he went to a contender, he wasn't going to throw unless he got a brand new deal.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I am concerned, this is a guy who has a full season as a starter under his belt and someone that's ready to take on the full workload of a true ace.
You mentioned, you just said true ace right there. You mentioned pencil him in at the top of the rotation. We're all excited about him, but there is a question about why the White Sox would move on if he's a bona fide ace. He's young, he's talented, he's cost controlled. So why was he available in the first place?
Yeah, I don't think it makes a ton of sense to try to talk about whatever motivation or incentive another team had. I think we're incredibly excited about the fact that we're able to get him. And oftentimes, these things come together simply because teams are kind of in a different place in terms of their priorities and their focus on winning in the short term.
So let me ask another way, because it's fair to not try to get in their mind of another team. For all his talents, there are some red flags, right? Injuries, there's not a super long track record at the big league level. The contract demands that Keith brought up. What was the process you went through to become comfortable with those red flags?
Yeah, so these conversations, they started a year ago around Garrett. And then there are certain times during the year where naturally they flare up again, obviously around the trade deadline and then the winter meetings, GM meetings. And so we've got pretty extensive history, around the conversations and getting comfortable with Garrett, the performance, the stuff, the medical, and so we feel very comfortable with the work that we've done, our medical team reviewing his history, and most importantly, looking at the fact that he threw 150 innings as a starter last year, 150 dominant innings.
There was a report from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic that says, quote, after getting burned on nine-figure contracts for Sale and David Price, Red Sox owner John Henry is reluctant to award long-term deals to pitchers. So I don't know if there's anything you could say. Can you confirm that, deny that for us? Because I know a lot of fans want the team to spend this year, want the team to be aggressive, and then read something like this and are kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, what I can say is I feel like we have the complete support from ownership to put a team on the field that is capable of contending for the division and making a deep postseason run. It's up to me. It's up to the team that we have in baseball operations to determine the best baseball decisions. But from a resources standpoint, we feel like we are very well supported.
Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, joining us here on WEEI. So, you know, with all respect, we see you guys linked to a lot of players over the years. I think the last time aggressively the organization, and you just got here a year ago, but the last time the organization landed a big ticket free agent at the winter meetings might have been David Price. And so, you know, Story was signed late. J.D. Martinez was signed late. You guys were linked to Juan Soto and made offers to Juan Soto. You made offers to Max Fried. Why should we believe in the resources committed there are real and not just the Red Sox are, as you get referred to from time to time, the interest kings?
Sure. I understand, and I think it's a fair question. But the reality is players make decisions about where they want to play for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, once players get to free agency, they have the right, they've earned the right to determine, you know, the team they'll play for the first time. And so, you know, we will and we have and will continue to identify players that we think improve our team, will make aggressive pursuits. And, you know, my hope, my expectation is that we're going to continue to improve the team. And I think, you know, there's always momentum and excitement and enthusiasm when 30 teams get together, whether that's the trade deadline, the GM meetings, the winter meetings, to kind of accelerate transactions. But there will be some great decisions that were made at the winter meetings. There will be some decisions that probably won't play well over time, but the offseason is a long way from being over.
You know, we always, especially around this time, are coming up with our different lineups that we'd like to see out there for the Red Sox and, you know, maybe moving players around. And one name that gets brought up a lot is Rafael Devers. And not that he's moving off the team, but maybe moving off of third base. And Alex Cora was really adamant that he signed as a third baseman and he is a third baseman. I'm curious if you feel the same way, because a lot of us say, you know, he's led the league in errors for seven straight years. Maybe he isn't an everyday third baseman.
Yeah, no, Rafael Devers is our third baseman, and we're really excited about that. I think last year we saw some improvement in terms of the way he was able to move, particularly to his left, which, you know, had not been as comfortable for him as to his right. And then toward the middle of the season, after there was a stretch where he almost single-handedly carried the team for a number of weeks, you know, he had knee injury, two shoulder injuries. I think that affected him probably more than he was willing to let on, because he wanted to play every day, wanted to do whatever it is that he could to help our team win. And so he is working hard right now. We've obviously made some changes to our coaching staff and feel like we're going to get the best out of him.
There was a report the other day from Mass Live. Sean McAdam cited an industry source. The Red Sox have interest in Alex Bregman. Alex Cora and Sam Kennedy are known to be big proponents of Bregman. The same source said members of baseball ops, including Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, are more circumspect when it comes to the player. Is that accurate?
I don't think it makes any sense at all to talk about any individual players or free agent pursuits. I'm obviously aware of what was written. It came as a surprise, and I would say that Alex, Sam, baseball operations have incredibly open, honest conversations around a whole host of things, and there's nothing here. You know, we'll continue to make the best decisions that we can collectively to put the best team on the field, and that's really it.
You know, a lot has been made of the what was the big three, then it became the big four for prospects in the system. Kyle Teal, obviously a part of the Garrett Crochet trade, but Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Mayer. I'm curious, as of right now, I know it's early, but do you project those guys breaking through and being a part of the major league roster this year, assuming they're still on the team?
Yeah, you know, it's really difficult to forecast timelines outside of saying that, you know, a move like trading for Garrett, I believe, strongly signals that we are serious about competing in 2025. And along with that goes the reality that we need to put the best team on the field that we can across the players that are in the organization. So if any of those guys, if all of those guys, if none of those guys, you know, is ready to help our team, then we'll make those decisions accordingly. The way that I think about this is that, you know, we have a number of really exciting young players who have already emerged at the big league level, and a number of others, like the guys that you just mentioned, and Christian and Marcelo and Roman and others who are likely to impact our team as soon as 2025. And it could be early in 2025, but I don't think it makes a ton of sense to pressurize that timeline right now.
You guys have been linked to some big ticket free agent arms. You've been linked to some arms on the trade market as well. Sounds like you're not done. Is it fair to expect another frontline starter in free agency or via trade?
It's really hard to, you know, to kind of share what we should expect, because if I've learned anything over the last 7 to 10 days, there are moments in time where you feel like something is really close. And, you know, at the drop of a hat, it feels like you're miles apart. The one thing that I can absolutely affirm is that we will continue to be aggressive in our pursuit of any path to improving our team. And that could come via starting pitching. It could come via a right-handed bat to help balance out the bullpen, the lineup, and we'll continue to build out the bullpen.
The first player, speaking of the bullpen, first player you guys signed in free agency was Aroldis Chapman. I'm curious, what did you see in him, and did his off-field stuff give you any pause in signing him?
Sure. So actually, the first guy that we signed was another left-handed reliever in Justin Wilson that kind of went under the radar, but another proven left-handed veteran arm with good velocity and the ability to generate swings and misses. But, you know, sure, we're really excited about what Aroldis brings on the field, just in terms of an absolutely dominant fastball, one that has excited fans, players, teammates for a really long time. And it was something that we were sorely lacking, was swing and miss, and particularly swing and miss from the left side. So I think from a baseball perspective, it really checks that box. And then, look, of course, you know, there was a very, very serious incident that took place with Aroldis, and a suspension that followed, you know, after MLB's investigation. And it's something, you know, any violation of the domestic violence policy is something that we take incredibly seriously. And we did an extensive workup and try to collect as much information as we possibly can. And speaking to teammates, officials, coaches, front office, and this is a player who has been in good standing with 5 organizations, and it wasn't that the references and testimonials that we got back were lukewarm. They were effusive with respect to the impact that Aroldis has had on teammates in the clubhouse, his diligent work ethic, the way that he has mentored some of the younger players, particularly some of the young Latin players. And so ultimately, we had to balance all of these considerations. We spoke with a number of people within our organization to make sure that we understood what we were doing. And at the end of the day, felt comfortable moving forward.
Okay. He is Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow joining us here on WEEI. Craig, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Keep up the good work there at the winter meetings, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Have a great morning, guys.
All right, Craig, thank you.
All right, thanks to Craig Breslow joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Let's dig in on some of that. Chapman, interesting answer there. Interesting answers about Bregman and what they're still going to do the rest of this offseason.
Devers, Crochet, Devers, a lot in there.
Devers is a third baseman.
Yeah, I guess.
Garrett Crochet is at the top of the rotation, which makes me wonder if they are done when it comes to adding arms. Full workup on Chapman, good guy.
So everybody loves him.
We'll get to all of that coming up
not
here.
The fans, but everybody else.
And more of your thoughts on the phone, 617-779-7937 on both Bill Belichick going to UNC and the Red Sox offseason. That's next.
You know, there was a lot said about Garrett Crochet last year at the trade deadline. Is it to your understanding that he will pitch under this current contract, or is he going to need a new contract?
No, I mean, we are, you know, looking at this as right now we've got a guy that's got 2 years of control, and, you know, we are approaching this with no restrictions. Obviously, anything beyond that we'll explore when the time is right. But right now we're focused on 25 and 26 and being able to write his name in at the top of the rotation.
But there was no, you know, understanding that when you traded for him that he wouldn't pitch unless he had a new deal, because that was some of the conversation last year at the trade deadline. If he went to a contender, he wasn't going to throw unless he got a brand new deal.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I am concerned, this is a guy who has you know, a full season as a starter under his belt and someone that's ready to take on the full workload of a true ace.
Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow joined us earlier this hour.
You think friend of the show? No?
No, I think he...
Best bud?
I think he expected a little more excitement over the...
I'm excited.
I'm
excited about Garrett Crochet. I just wanted to make sure, is this guy signed to a long-term deal?
Yeah.
Or not, it doesn't sound like they are.
No.
At least not right now. It doesn't sound like they are.
No. It's clear it's not done. I mean, maybe they wake up in 6 months and sign him to an extension, but that's not done. That was not a prerequisite. They are not paying him. So will he be happy about it? Totally fair question by you. Great question
by you. Thank you very much.
Interviews up now. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone.
Free. Get in there.
Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. A lot of driving this holiday season. So a good thing to have on your phone. You won't miss anything from WEEI. YouTube, it'll be up there shortly. Same thing, you can watch along here on Twitch. So, yeah, I think he anticipated a little more like excitement around Crochet, which we are.
We are legit excited about Crochet.
Like, I love that they made this move. I love that they gave up some prospects and got uncomfortable. I still wish they'd spend money, but...
No, they haven't spent money at all.
But if we're going to
have... What's Crochet make next year? Like, $10 million?
Oh, I think it's less.
Oh,
I think it's like $3 million.
It's like when they got Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Sale's probably 10 or 13, but Chris Sale's more established. It's funny. Big, tall lefty from the White Sox, although Crochet is like 50 to 75 pounds heavier than Sale. But still, like, big lefty. The teams were bad. They moved on. And Sale pitched for a couple of really cheap years. He was the best contract in baseball for like 2 years, and then he was the worst contract in baseball for a few years and how that went. But Crochet at 25, and the only reason it's worth bringing up, it doesn't happen in this sport as much as some of the other sports. Right, like, oh, if you're going to trade me, I need a new contract. Like, in the NFL, wide receiver gets traded, he's getting a new contract. Right? That's just how it works. Baseball, it doesn't, but it was different with this guy at the deadline. He was like, I won't pitch out of the bullpen, which you're like, wait a minute. Because remember, Alex Cora, the year they won the World Series, I think every starter pitched out of the bullpen in that run.
Including the guy you mentioned before.
Sale finished the game to win the World Series. So you're like, all right, well, that's not great. And like, maybe he's just trying to have some leverage in this situation. He was on a horrible, horrible White Sox team, and they were trying to, you know, get the most out of it. They didn't trade him. He was on like a innings restriction at the end of last year, coming off of Tommy John and everything else. So has he changed his tune? Like, is he going to come out there and pitch for nothing over the next couple of years? Like, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we will see. But that's disheartening to me. I said yesterday I'd pay him now. I'd pay him right now. You guys don't want to pay free agents. He's only going to get more expensive.
Oh, my God. If he's good for 2 years, which would be great, and he can help get you to the playoffs if he's, a big hoss of the week, a big hoss of the year. But in 2 years, like, we have people on the text line saying that. Like, in 2 years, what is he going to cost, and will the Red Sox spend it?
So that's if it works out. I mean, obviously, if he blows out his arm at his first start, then you avoided being on the hook for a bunch of money. So I see the other side of it, but... You just gave up four of your top 15 prospects, and I don't care about this, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
You gave up a lot of capital in this trade, and so to do that for a guy for 2 years and then risk losing him because you're afraid to pay anyone, that's not ideal. So I personally would pay him now, but if you wouldn't, you wouldn't. I think talking to him, it's clear he's done. It's not done.
He's not signing a contract, at least right now,
that there's
or
no,
the near future.
There's no extension that is in place, but... Again, I just think if we're going to have Breslow on, we should ask about the red flags, because I think it's worth the risk with this player.
Same.
But you have to acknowledge there's risk. He has done it for 1 year at the big league level, and really it was a half a year. He said 146 innings and high-level innings, and they were, but it was a half a year. Mm-hmm. He's had Tommy John surgery. He's only cost-controlled for two more years. And he doesn't have to answer it, but I think it's fair to say, if this guy's such a stud and he's an ace and he's young and he's cost-controlled and he's so great, why are the White Sox making him available? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to get inside their head. That was a fair answer by him.
Yep, right.
But there are a lot of red flags around this player, and would it be safer to go get somebody else in free agency? Will they get someone else in free agency or via trade? That's another thing, Keith,
mm-hmm.
that after talking to him, I'm not as encouraged by. Doesn't sound to me, based on his answers, that they're getting another big ticket arm.
No.
Doesn't sound to me like they're getting Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
He said he didn't know where that reporting was from. He was certainly aware of it. But no, I wouldn't rule anything out.
Do you know that in his entire career, and I like him. I like him.
Yeah.
This isn't me pointing out the Coors Field stats with Trevor Story, because I didn't really like Trevor Story. And everyone's like, what's wrong with you? In his entire career, he's 25 years old. He has pitched in a game over six innings three times. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah.
There is some risk. Like, he is certainly more established at the major league level than any of the players they just traded. Kyle Teal, he could be a Hall of Famer. He could be out of the league in 2 years.
Yeah.
That's the thing with prospects. We have no idea. At least this guy has shown at the major league level he can be dominant. He was an all-star last year, and then second half they had to manage his innings. But if he throws eight innings in a game, it'd be the first time he's ever done it in his career. And so, yeah, he hasn't pitched a ton, but that's also young guy managing him. It's how they do it in baseball.
Yeah.
So I'll take it. I'll take the upshot on Garrett Crochet.
I hope they're not done, but I like the, despite my tone, I like the move. I like it a lot, and I'm happy they did it. I didn't think they'd do it. So I give him a lot of credit for it. I like the move. But let's acknowledge there is risk
yep.
in this player, and you can say there's risk in every player and every pitcher,
especially
and sure,
pitchers.
You're right.
Especially pitchers.
But especially this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially, there's a reason the White Sox are giving up on him.
Yeah.
So you're assuming that risk. I like it. I think it's worth the roll of the dice. I would not be done if I were the Red Sox. All your reaction to Craig Breslow joining us earlier here on Jones and Keefe. That story, 1A of the day. 1B, Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. He's got a press conference today in Chapel Hill.
Chapel Bill.
I don't care for it.
At 2 o'clock. I'm sure there will be a reaction to that all day long here on WEEI. Let's get back into your phone call. 617-779-7937. Why is the NFL done with Bill Belichick, along with all your Red Sox thoughts next?